800-205-6245 or www.voiceamanywaters.org.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and with us this morning is our good friend Pastor David Whitney from the Institute of the Constitution. And every month we have David on with us here. Of course, the Institute does support Radio Liberty, but we support the Institute because we think their message is so vitally important. Why is America different than other countries? Because we have a constitution which is the law of our land, which is what we are to be loyal to, not to the government, not to the politicians who are there trying to destroy the essence of our constitution. Of course, that's one reason why Ron Paul, Congressman Ron Paul, is so unpopular with the media. He adheres to the Constitution. He is trying to get us back to the Constitution. He wants to do away with the income tax and the Federal Reserve System and all these federal departments that are wasting billions of dollars and really are unconstitutional. And until we understand the Constitution, we cannot understand that we have traitors in Washington, D.C., who have sworn to uphold the Constitution against all enemies, both foreign and domestic, yet they themselves are the enemies of the Constitution. And most of our legislators vote for unconstitutional laws because they think they're a good idea. It doesn't matter what you and I think. If we live under the Constitution, we abide by the Constitution. If we want to change it, we can amend it. But of course, they don't want to do that. They want to do it by judicial edict or by legislative edict. The Constitution is the greatest document ever written by men. And with that, Pastor David Whitney, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, it's a blessing to be on your show, Dr. Stan, and you're absolutely right. We have traitors, domestic enemies that are working to subvert our form of government and to strip us of our God-given rights that are protected by the Constitution, because our founders knew that when governments are formed, and even when they're given restricted powers, the problem is to keep them within the restrictions, the boundaries that are established initially by the Constitution. And there's only one way that we, the citizens, can keep our government in check, keep it from becoming a tyrannical monster that strips us of God-given rights, and that's if we, the people, know the standard by which our government is to be held accountable, and that is the U.S. Constitution, and especially the Bill of Rights that follows, as well as the subsequent amendments, which is why at Institute on the Constitution we're trying to teach these principles to millions of Americans across the land so that we can put those who are domestic enemies out of the position of power that many of them currently hold in Washington, D.C.
Let me just interject with one thing that Jefferson said, one of my favorite sayings. He said, in matters of politics, speak not to me of confidence in men, but rather bind them down for mischief with the chains of the Constitution. What was the Constitution? It was to limit what our politicians could do to extract money from us, and that's why we've got to do away with the IRS. That gives them the ability to take money from us by force and then use it to benefit themselves or to pursue their globalist agenda. Go right ahead, David.
And so we must know these details, or else we cannot evaluate a candidate. You know, consider the presidential candidates and the promises being tossed out by those running for that high office. And we cannot evaluate and know whether what they're promising us is actually a violation of the Constitution before they take office, which is the case of many of not only the Democrats, but many of the Republicans are promising things that are blatantly unconstitutional, which means even before they've taken an oath to uphold the Constitution, they're promising us, we the people, they're promising us they're going to violate the Constitution already. Well, that should be a huge red flag that says, oh, no good patriotic American should ever cast a vote in their favor. But unless you know the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the subsequent amendments, you're not going to know how to evaluate those candidates. And so over the past several months, we've been walking through the Bill of Rights, and now we're into the subsequent amendments, and we've dealt with a great number of these subsequent amendments. So let me just remind you that the 18th Amendment was the prohibition of alcohol production and sale and so forth, except by control of the federal government. That was repealed by the 21st Amendment, and a good thing it was, because it was taking power to the federal government that never should have gone there. It's one of those powers that should be delegated to the state governments. Again, this is one of the major misunderstandings that has been foisted upon the American public, is that the federal government can do whatever it chooses, and we ought to just give everything to Washington, D.C. Our founders said, no, Washington, D.C., the federal government should have the very, very minimal amount of powers to do only those things which the federal government can do. If the state can do it, even if the state doesn't do it as well, the state should do it. In other words, the federal government should be restricted to only a very few and limited things. The state government should handle most issues in the life of the citizen. And to support that claim that I'm making, just read the Federalist Paper 45, which clearly establishes that as the view of our founders. And so the repeal of an amendment was a mighty thing that took place with the 21st Amendment. And I have a list we'll talk about when we get to the end of studying the amendments, a list of those other amendments I believe should be repealed to take us back to the form that our founders designed for our federal government, a very limited role that the federal government would play. Well, the 22nd Amendment, we've talked about it briefly. It limited the terms for the president to two terms, and we discussed Franklin Delano Roosevelt's violation of that unwritten principle that all the presidents had followed since George Washington on down. And then we also discussed the 23rd Amendment, where the District of Columbia obtained electors, that is, they participate now in the presidential election, and we discussed why our founders did not want Washington, D.C., the district, to have electors or have senators or congressmen. And again, most Americans have forgotten that principle, and therefore you see the Washington, D.C. license plates over here in Maryland, and they all say taxation without representation, i.e. they want Congress representation, and they want senators, which is not a wise idea, and it was opposed by our founders very clearly. And then the 24th Amendment eliminated poll taxes that states would use to cover the cost for elections and support other projects that the state would choose. But again, here, I believe the federal government is overstepping its bounds, involving itself in the election process that is taking place in each state. Yes, it may not be perfectly just and fair for the how each state handles it, but that state ought to resolve its own issues in that matter, and the federal government should not be involved in determining how the structure of elections take place in the state. And then we come to the 25th Amendment.
Hold up. Again. I think we're going to have to take a little break here. We'll be right back in a moment. Pastor David Whitney, the Institute on the Constitution.
Constitutional Moments are brought to you throughout the day through the generosity of CNC Prototype Machine, Boulder, Colorado.
Energy security.
Fuel efficiency.
Reduced emissions.
Vehicle choice.
With the right energy policy, we can have it all.
As long as our leaders in Washington remember that cars, pickups, minivans, and SUVs serve different purposes for different people.
I need a vehicle that can tow my boat and snowmobile.
And I need a vehicle that has enough room to take my kids and all of their equipment to football, baseball, and soccer practice.
We can reduce our dependence on foreign sources of oil and reduce emissions without sacrificing vehicle choice, jobs, and the features American families, farmers, and small businesses need.
But we can't expect all vehicles to get the same miles per gallon.
Contact our senators. Tell them you support a fuel economy proposal that makes sense.
Tell them they should too. To learn more, visit www.drivecongress.com.
Paid for by the Alliance of Automobile Manufacturers.
The American Freedom Network has a growing list of videos available. We like to show people the good things about life in America. These videos depict great events, inspirational music, and very special people. If you couldn't be here to see them live, call 1-800-205-6245 for title and price information. That's 1-800-205-6245.
Insulin, Our Silent Killer is a book written by author and scientist Thomas Smith. In this self-help manual for diabetes and other blood sugar handling problems, you'll learn the true cause of this disease and what you can do about it. Insulin, Our Silent Killer is available from the American Freedom Network for only $29.95 postpaid. Call 1-800-205-6245. This extensively referenced book is a must-read for everyone. Insulin, Our Silent Killer. Call 1-800-205-6245.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning is Pastor David Whitney. And, of course, the difficulty is that most Americans don't understand that we have traitors working within the legislature of both houses at the national level, men who are dedicated to the destruction of our way of life and the imposition of an all-powerful state. And remember that liberty and limited government are synonymous. And that tyranny and total federal government are synonymous. Which direction are we headed? Well, we're heading towards total federal control over our lives, and yet the official law of America is our Constitution. And when people tell you, oh, Romans 13 tells you that, you're to obey the government, we are to obey the Constitution. That is the foundation of our government that God has given us. And those people who say, oh, we've got to obey the government and the president and we owe loyalty to him because God put him there. No, I believe that the God that put him there is not the God of the Bible. Our God gave us the Constitution, and that is where our loyalty lies. Pick up the story there, David.
Well, we were talking about the 25th Amendment, which was ratified in 1967. Here again, presidential secession was revised regarding what would happen if there was a vacancy in the vice presidency, then the president would appoint someone, and then that person would have to be approved by the Senate. Also, if the president was unable to do his duties, who would be the one to, and the vice president would take his place. But what would happen if the president and the vice president were taken out of their role of office, or they were killed or some way unable to fulfill that, and then it would go to the president, the president of the House. And so that secession is set up in a very clear manner, and I think that's a good thing to retain. We're going to talk in a few moments about amendments to the Constitution that I think should be repealed because they do violate the structure our founders established between the powers we were granting to the federal government and the wide-ranging powers granted to the state governments. And I believe the next amendment, the 26th Amendment, which was ratified in 1971, is one of those that should be repealed. It is the 18-year-old vote amendment. The right of vote cannot be denied on the basis of age for anyone who is over the age of 18. And I remember, because I was growing up during the time when this was being debated, that the war of Vietnam and so forth had raised the issue, well, if we can die for our country, shouldn't we be able to vote in the election? And that sounds like a very reasonable argument. And again, I wouldn't want to determine what age of 18 is to be fixed, but I believe this is an issue that should be resolved by the states and not by the federal government. And the federal government here has set an age not lower, or in other words, that no one 18 and older can be prohibited from voting. They haven't said that states could set the age lower than that. They could set it at 16, 15, or whatever. But they say once a person turns 18, they must be given the right to vote.
Well, you know what was wrong with that slogan during the Vietnam era was we had a draft. We never should have had a draft. We never should have been sending our boys over to fight in a no-win war in Vietnam. You know, and so just because you're two wrongs do not make a right.
That's right.
And because we had a draft and we were sending 18 years old over to be killed in Vietnam for no reason at all in a war that we never were allowed to try to win any more than we're allowed to really try to win this present war in Iraq. I mean, what did that have to do with giving them the right to vote? The right to vote was to be something that was very special, and it was to be based upon people's understanding of the Constitution and what freedom is about and how many 18-year-olds really understand much about anything at all, especially today. when we've been intentionally dumbing down our children and depriving them of the right to understand what a wonderful system of government we used to have here in America,
mm-hmm.
and how the Declaration of Independence was really the Articles of Incorporation of our Constitution, which was founded on the concept of limiting the power of government, because, of course, men were basically evil and could never be trusted with power. And that was a biblical concept. And the men who created this country believed that we could never trust men with power. Isn't it strange how things have changed? Because we've forgotten God's message in the Bible that men are sinners, and that's why we need a Savior. But go ahead, David.
Amen. And so here we have what I would call a usurpation of the federal government, again determining who is going to be a citizen with the power to vote, determining for the 50 states in this case who is going to do that, and saying that anybody at age 18 that's a citizen has the right to vote. This is not the business of the federal government. See, the misconception has grown that we are citizens of the United States, capital U and so on. No. The design of our founders is that you become a citizen of your own state, a citizen of California, a citizen of Colorado, a citizen of Maryland, and your state determines the qualifications for citizenship. It's not the INS that determines who becomes a citizen. It's the individual states that determine, and they set the standard. They can have a very difficult test, and I believe they should have a very stringent test that a person clearly understands the Constitution, a person clearly renounces any godless form of government, and the states could do that. But the federal government has usurped a power that does not belong to it, and that is the power of determining who are citizens of an individual state, and then which of those citizens get to vote. There's a number of the amendments that deal with this same issue of the federal government usurping the state powers. And the danger in this is that when the federal government wants to determine who is going to become a citizen, it may make some drastic mistakes, as we have done in amnesty for illegal aliens, people who broke into our country that back in the 80s were given amnesty. That is, the states were told, you have to accept these people as citizens, even though you may not want them as citizens. The federal government is going to force these people down the throat of the state, and the state has to say, oh, we can't do anything about it. These people are citizens. Now these people are going to gain the right to vote and all the other benefits of being a citizen. No, that should never be the case, that the federal government has the power to do that. In fact, our founders never granted the power for the federal government to do that. Those powers have been usurped through these amendments and through people being dumbed down in our country to a point that they do not understand that the powers granted to the states are to be far wide-ranging powers, and the powers granted to the federal government very, very limited and restricted. If the state can do it, let the state do it, and do not let the federal government do it. That's the sort of principle our founders were operating under in how they structured the balance of powers between the state and federal government. I like what James Madison had to say, father of our Constitution: to suppose that any form of government will secure liberty or happiness without any virtue in the people is a chimerical idea. That is ephemeral. It's absolutely, and this was during the debates of the Constitution, said, if virtue is not in the heart of the people, then there will be no security, there will be no liberty, and there will obviously be no happiness on the part of the people. And it was the states that could be involved in those sort of issues, determining, as for example here in Maryland in the turn of the 19th century, in order to become a citizen of the state of Maryland, you had to affirm that you were a Christian. You had to affirm that you believed in heaven and hell. If you didn't believe in heaven and hell, they wouldn't let you become a citizen. That is, you would not have the ability to vote. Why would that be? Because if you did not believe in eternal judgment, that God was going to judge you one day for your actions as a citizen, then you would make decisions based upon your own standard, whatever you cared about, rather than on God's standard. The vote is a very powerful thing that a citizen has, and I like what Samuel Adams, often called the father of our American War for Independence, said, and this is in April 16th, 1871. He wrote in the Boston Gazette, "Let each citizen remember at the moment he is offering his vote that he is executing one of the most solemn trusts in human society, for which he is accountable to God and his country." Samuel Adams knew that God's going to hold us accountable on Judgment Day for how we vote. That's, for many people, that's a rather shocking idea. What? How I vote? God's going to hold me accountable? Our founders believed he would, that it was a sacred trust that you were executing when you offered your vote, because they knew the subversion of the form of government they were founding would easily be accomplished by people who did not hold to that form of government in their own belief system, and who were given the power to vote because they would vote in people who would corrupt, destroy, and water down that precious form of government that they instituted, a Christian constitutional republic.
And I think that really is so vitally important. I did a radio program on Saturday when a gentleman called in who claimed he came from an Illuminist family, and that his founders, his family traced back to the time of the Constitution, and of course this was, all the founders were deists, they weren't Christians, and there were people here who were not Christians, who were working within the upper echelons of government, but the vast majority of people who created this country were Christians. And that quotation from Samuel Adams is so important, as were the quotations from so many other of the founding fathers who were dedicated Christians. What people have failed to recognize is that there were two forces in America at that time. One the Christian, the other the occult. And whether you want to call it Illuminati or call it Mason or call it what you will, multiple organizations dedicated to eventually capturing control of our country and using the military and financial power of the United States to enslave the world. And that's tragically is what's going on today. And we've forgotten that America was founded as a Christian republic, primarily by Christians, but the dark forces were always there. I think that's a great quotation, David.
And to preserve it, I mean, there's a lot of work to recover our Christian constitutional republic, but it begins by citizens like you and I sharing what we know with others and reminding people of what our founders said and teaching people these principles, because if we can gather millions of Americans who together understand these principles and are committed to only electing godly Christians to office who will uphold the original meaning of the text of the Constitution, people like Ron Paul, as you mentioned, the only person running for president who is talking about the Constitution and willing to act to restore the Constitution, if we can elect people like that to office, we can return and we can be free of the tyranny that is currently plaguing our land, and you know, many of your shows talk about all these tyrannical things that are happening one after another in our land today. So I believe that 26th Amendment, which gave the 18-year-old the quote right to vote, is a bad amendment, not because of the age issue. That may be an issue that each state can decide, but it is a bad amendment because it takes from the states that which the states ought to be doing and not the federal government. Well, the final amendment to this date is the 27th Amendment, which was ratified in 1993, and this dealt with congressional pay raises. Originally, oddly enough, this was one of the original amendments proposed as part of the Bill of Rights, but it was never ratified back when the other 10 amendments to the Bill for the Bill of Rights were ratified. It was not ratified by three-quarters of the states, so it just kind of sat in a dustbin. And during the 1980s and 1990s, people began rightly to become upset with congressional pay raises, that, and there was an interest in reviving this amendment. And so it was ratified by the 38th state in 1993. And basically it says that no congressional pay raises and increases will take place until after the next election, so that they have to face the wrath of the voters if they vote themselves a pay increase and may be booted out of office before they get to enjoy that pay increase. So this is a good check of the people upon their lawmakers. You know, it gives the people an opportunity to express their disapproval of the pay increase by voting the lawmakers out of office. Perhaps there should be a way that we could vote down the pay increase, not just vote the bums out of office, but, you know, return the money to the people rather than give them that pay increase at all. But nonetheless, it is a good check, it appears, on the powers of Congress to increase their own pay. There may be, however, some question about the validity of the 27th Amendment. It has not yet been challenged in court anywhere. And when we look at the amendment process that's described in Article 5 of the Constitution. Nowhere in Article 5 does it specify how much time may elapse before the 3/4 of the states ratify it as required by law.
We'll be back here in just a moment here at the American Freedom Network.
Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
The people who are controlling the government of America are the same people who are trying to control your family's health care. You can sit quietly by and accept their plan, or you can take responsibility for your health. What would happen if you could no longer obtain the medications you're now taking? Would you be forced to join the ranks of corrupt agents just to purchase the medicine? If you're one of the thousands of concerned citizens who would like to know more about a natural way, God's way to help, drop by the Green Herb for a natural solution and all the information you need to make an intelligent decision. Or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling. Or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. And be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Are you treating just your symptoms with dangerous medications and a multitude of supplements? If you answered yes, then you may be fighting the battle but losing the war. Nourish each cell in your body with Bio Superfood and win the war. 30 years of research, Bio Superfood offers more than 5,000 nutrients, proteins, vitamins, minerals, enzymes, EFAs, and powerful antioxidants to boost your immune system. With Bio Superfood, the war is one at the cellular level. Call today toll-free 877-288-9116.
If you enjoy alternative stations on the radio, shouldn't your TV service provide the same choices? You can get more channels than you have now, plus many more Christian and family programs in crystal clear 100% digital picture and sound, and the price is significantly lower than cable. Just call Rocky Mountain Satellite at 970-443-7375. Already enjoying satellite TV but want a lower price? We can help you too. Packages start at only $19.99 a month. Call 970-443-7375. DVRs and high definition also available. More than 31 million Americans have some type of hearing problem. Only 1 in 5 will seek help. Do you frequently misunderstand conversations? Do you often ask people to repeat what they're saying? Do your ears ring? If you're the one who's always turning up the volume on the TV or the radio, maybe it's time to get a hearing evaluation by a professional, certified, caring audiologist. Call Michelle at the Columbine Hearing Center, 303-857-6688. That's the Columbine Hearing Center, 303-857-6688.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
Here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning is Pastor David Whitney. And before we go on, David, I'd like you to get out your website, your telephone number, so that people would know how to get in touch with the Institute of the Constitution.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. We at Institute on the Constitution are committed to teaching Americans across this land these truths about our founders and what they designed in our form of government, and giving people a working knowledge of the Declaration, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. We do that primarily through what we call our host kit, which is a course that anybody with any group of people can conduct. It's on DVD, 12 lectures by Constitutional Professor John Eidsmo, and then 2 lectures by David Barton, giving people a working knowledge along with a student notebook that outlines the entire course and a host notebook that gives the person leading the course all the answers they need to test questions and so forth. It's a turnkey method by which you can take your family through an understanding of these founding documents. And essentially, we encourage people to do this in their churches. It was originally designed to be a class offered in churches to train Christian citizens. And People can purchase our host kit. If they want to purchase it online, they can go to our web store, and that web store is found at our website, iotconline.com. That's iotconline.com. And there's some other excellent resources there in our web store that can help you learn about the history of America and reconnect with our founders, as well as how you can take action to help restore the Republic. If you don't have web access, or if you'd prefer to order it by phone, we encourage you to call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That toll-free number for Institute on the Constitution is 866-730-9796. And we're just excited, as so many Americans across the land, and now all 50 states, are actually taking our course and conducting that course in their homes and their churches, and taking back our country against the pagans who really have taken control in so many areas, and restoring our constitutional republic. And Dr. Stan, I want to thank you for the work that you're doing in this same regard of helping raise the awareness that the form of government given to us by our founders has been violated, it has been shot through, it has been in so many ways destroyed and subverted, but it's not dead. And people need to understand that we still have, as the supreme law of this land, the United States Constitution, and we the people can rise up and force our government, state and federal, to recognize it again as the supreme law of the land and to act in submission to its details. But we can only do that if we understand the contents and the text of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, Declaration ourselves. So we're just encouraged as people are getting a hold of this host kit and taking action in the most important thing they can do, educating themselves and then their families and ultimately their churches and their whole communities about these precious truths.
Well, I agree with you, Tony, and I think what you're doing is so very important. And I think it's important for our listeners to understand that through the Institute of the Constitution, these courses are being held literally all across the land today. And certainly these classes have been presented in every one of the 50 states, haven't they?
That's right. And many classes are being conducted right now. And actually on our web page, there's a new classes starting page. And we encourage people to go there to see what's happening in their area. And if there's not a class happening in your area, get a host kit, start a class, contact us with your starting information so we can add it to the website so that other people who live in your part of the country can be aware that there's a class in their community where they can attend and learn these precious truths. Well, as we were discussing the 27th Amendment, I was raising the point that it was first, the language was first proposed and submitted to Congress way back in September of 1789 when the 10 Bill of Rights, 10 Articles of the Bill of Rights were also submitted. But it was not approved at that time. That's 204 years later, and so there is no note in Article 5 of our Constitution that determines how amendments are handled, and there's no determination there how much time may elapse before three-quarters of the states ratify a particular proposed amendment. But Congress, in passing an amendment, sending it to the states, these days sets a time limit, often 7 years. Consider things like the Equal Rights Amendment. It has a seven-year window of opportunity to gain ratification of three-quarters of the states. The Equal Rights Amendment failed because it never did gain three-quarter state ratification in the 7 years allotted by Congress. And so Congress today sets time limits for ratification. But back then, when the Bill of Rights was being proposed, the 12 articles that were proposed, there was no time limit set for ratification. And so this 27th Amendment, because there was no time limit, 204 years elapsed before it was actually ratified. And I guess there could be a court challenge that might rule that since no time limit was set, the amendment is valid whenever it received the three-quarters of the states. Or the court might say that in the absence of a specific time limit, the amendment had to be ratified in a reasonable time, and that they might conclude that 204 years is not a reasonable time. But there hasn't been any challenge to it. And actually, the 27th Amendment has been certified by the director of the U.S. Archives. And unless a court challenges it otherwise, it is considered part of the Constitution. And I believe it's a good thing. I mean, it would be better, like I said, if we could take the pay raise back from senators and congressmen when they propose a pay raise for themselves. But seeing as we don't have that option, this is a small check against their power to raise their own pay.
Well, I think they've actually come up with the new laws. I remember, David, and you probably know this better than I, but they sort of automatically get a cost of living raise or so much raise every year. That way they don't have to vote it for themselves.
That's right.
It comes automatically, and the people will not realize that the congressmen, you know, are not only getting automatic raises, but they get all sorts of travel allowances. They get a quarter of $1 million to run their office. They get special health care. They get special pension benefits.
Oh, yes.
Basically, this is a great, great, wonderful job. You don't have to work that hard at it. And, once you get to be a congressman, all you need to do is stay there for a certain period of time. You get a great pension all the rest of your life, and then your wife gets it afterwards. I mean, why are we giving our elected representatives, who are supposedly there as our servants, all these wonderful benefits? Or are they utilizing, their position to benefit themselves? Are they our servants, or are we their servants?
I'm afraid they've turned it around and made them the masters and we the servants instead of the other way, where we were the masters and they were the servants. And the reason this has happened is we've lost an understanding of what our founders originally meant in what they wrote in the Constitution. And I like what Thomas Jefferson said on every question of construction, that is, understanding what the Constitution means. Let us carry ourselves back to the time when the Constitution was adopted. Recollect the spirit manifested in the debates, and instead of trying what meaning may be squeezed out of the text or invented against it, conform the probable one in which it was passed. In other words, if we want to understand, and it's not that difficult, you can read Madison's debates, the notes from the Constitutional Convention debates. You can read the Federalist Papers, in which they were arguing why the Constitution should be ratified by the states. You can read what they meant by what they said. And those are the things that should guide us back to restoring our constitutional republic. And we have a long way to go, but it is a doable project.
We'll be back in just a moment here with Pastor David Whitney of the Institute for the Constitution.
Tapes of the preceding show are available by calling 1-800-205-6245, the American Freedom Network.
Mosquito season is here, and so are mosquito-borne diseases. It's only a matter of time. West Nile virus, Eastern equine encephalitis, and Western equine encephalitis are neurological diseases that can cause paralysis or death in horses. One mosquito can carry all three. Fortunately, only one vaccine can prevent all three. West Nile Innovator plus EWT. The mosquito shot protects against West Nile, two forms of equine encephalitis, and tetanus in one convenient vaccine. More than 23 million doses of West Nile Innovator vaccines have been administered to horses coast to coast. No wonder West Nile Innovator is veterinarians' first choice for West Nile protection. Ask your veterinarian for the mosquito shot from Fort Dodge Animal Health. Because when it comes to mosquito-borne diseases, it's only a matter of time.
Radio is your best choice for advertising. Radio gets results. Call 1-800-205-6245 and find out just how inexpensive and effective radio can be. That's 1-800-205-6245. KHNC 1360, The Lion. That's 1-800-205-6245.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, I guess this morning, is Pastor David Whitney, and we're talking about our Constitution, something that none of our politicians want to talk about, you know, because they constantly violate the Constitution. In fact, most of them do not understand that the Constitution was to be a vehicle by which you would chain down the politicians from taking away our freedom and our money and sending our boys and girls overseas to fight in senseless, no-win wars. And so with that as a background, pick up the story.
Well, let me quote what George Washington warned us of in 1787. He said, "The power under the Constitution will always be in the people. It is entrusted for certain defined purposes and for a certain limited period to representatives of their own choosing, and whenever it is executed contrary to their interest or not agreeable to their wishes, their servants," that is the government, "can and undoubtedly will be recalled." He was absolutely confident that the protection of our government would be the people understanding the form of government and understanding when it was being violated, and that they would recall those representatives who had violated our Constitution. And he warned just a few years later in 1796, "Towards the preservation of your government, it is requisite," that is, it's absolutely required, "that you resist with care the spirit of innovation upon its principles," that is, any change to the basic foundational principles of our structure of government, "that we resist it with care, the innovation upon its principles, however specious the pretext. One method of assault may be to effect in the forms of the Constitution alterations which will impair the energy of the system and thus to undermine what cannot be directly overthrown." Very wisely, our founders knew that this form of government that they were creating, that those who wanted to destroy it and undermine it would not assault it directly by warfare or any other means. They would use a subtle and a deceptive means to trick the people into allowing the whole structure to be undermined by a different system. And that is what we have seen take place, and is very, very evident in our day, as we've talked about the many egregious violations of our Bill of Rights and so on. And in that spirit, I'd like to propose, because we have a standard set that any amendment to the Constitution other than the Bill of Rights, any amendment can be repealed, as the 21st Amendment repealed the 18th Amendment, which was the created prohibition. I would like to propose another 12 amendments that also would be repealed, because I believe they are a violation of the structure our founders originally established. We'll go all the way back to the 11th Amendment that basically said, if you're not a citizen of a particular state and you have a contract with that state, the state can freely violate the contract and you have no recourse in the court of law to sue that state for its violation of contract. This is giving states unwarranted powers to violate their pledge, their oath, their commitment, their contracts. So the 11th ought to be gotten rid of. The 13th Amendment, which abolished slavery. Not that I would countenance slavery being reestablished, but that's not an issue that the federal government should determine. It's an issue for the states. And likewise with the 14th Amendment, due process, equal protection, all those things. Those are violations of the federal government taking from the states those powers that the states were to have. And likewise the 15th Amendment. Determining who can vote. That should not be determined by the federal government. That is a state issue again. And the 16th Amendment, the income tax. We've talked in detail about how that's a violation of the structure, that the states are to be in charge of how tax revenue is raised and exactly how much money goes to the federal government through their senators, which the state legislatures appointed. And so that's where the 17th Amendment violated the structure again. It should be repealed. And obviously the 18th Amendment has already been repealed. Praise God for that one amendment, bad amendment, gotten rid of. But the 19th Amendment, again, woman suffrage, determining for the states who in their state is permitted to vote. That's not the business of the federal government to do so. And then jumping ahead to the 21st Amendment, obviously, we want to keep because that repealed the 18th Amendment. And the 23rd Amendment, again, is a violation of what our founders structured, that the District of Columbia was not to have any political influence It was not to have any electors for president or congressmen, senators, none of that. So the 23rd Amendment should be booted. The 24th Amendment, which eliminated poll taxes, that, again, is a unjust interference of the federal government on what the state determines as to how they're going to conduct elections. 25th Amendment is fine. We ought to keep that one. The 26th Amendment, we've already discussed. The 18-year-old vote, that's not, again, for the federal government to determine what the states do or do not do in that regard. And so, and then we come to the 27th Amendment, which, as I mentioned already, I believe is a good but not adequate. It's good, but it's not an adequate check upon the powers of the federal representatives of ours to raise their own income. They should not have that power, and that's one small check against it. So when we look at this list of the 17 subsequent amendments, the amendments since the Bill of Rights, the vast majority of them, I believe, should be repealed. But that'll be a long-term project because we're just trying to even get the obedience to these amendments to be followed by our current government.
Well, you know, it's so interesting that a recent poll showed it varies. Sometimes it was 11%, sometimes it's 20, 21%. But certainly that's all of the people that approve of Congress, somewhere between 11 and 21%. Most people think Congress is doing a poor job. They ought to be paid based upon the job that they're doing. They spend all their time arguing about unimportant things, and, of course, their earmarks are to give massive amounts of money to districts all across the country, so the congressman will get reelected. But why should I have to pay, you know, $250 million for a bridge to nowhere in Alaska? Finally, they've given up that idea, but they're just going to build a bridge there in Alaska to a little island, you know, that it would have been cheaper to buy everybody on the island a jet plane to get back and forth rather than to build that bridge. And but this is the sort of corruption we have. David, before we go, give your website and your telephone number one more time.
Our toll-free number at Institute on the Constitution is 866-730-9796, and our website that has our web store is iotconline.com.
God bless.
God bless.
Talk to you later.
So
thanks so much, David.
Radio is your best choice for advertising. Radio gets results. Call 1-800-205-6245 and find out just how inexpensive and effective radio can be. That's 1-800-205-6245, KHNC 1360, The Lion. That's 1-800-205-6245. The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsors' fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m. followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can get more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so come join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom. Good Sabbath.
Freedom Network, and we recommend the Institute of the Constitution and their material to you. We carry a number of books, you know, about John Stormer's wonderful book, Betrayed by the Bench, going into how the Supreme Court has actually, you know, taken away so many of our freedoms. Of course, John Stormer doesn't go into the occult influence on the Supreme Court to really understand why the Supreme Court took God and prayer out of our schools. You need to get my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness. But John's book, Betrayed by the Bench, is the best book we have on the Supreme Court. We also carry Phyllis Schlafly's book, The Supremacy on the Supreme Court. These things are important. We carry another book on the First Amendment, you know, going into the background of certainly the fact that the First Amendment was violated by the Supreme Court. Because what the First Amendment says is that Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And then they twisted that around. They said that actually means the states, and that's why no state school can mention God. And that isn't what our founding fathers meant at all. But let me suggest those four books to you. The book Betrayed by the Bench by John Stormer, The Supremacy by Phyllis Schlafly, my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and the book on the First Amendment. And if you simply request that book, we'll get the exact name for you. I think all of these things are so important. You have to be able to understand and discuss these things with your friends. Help them to understand that if we do not return to our Constitution and get people into the White House who believe in the Constitution, we are going to lose our country. And then, of course, there's those of you who have not yet read the speech was given by Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez, who was the commander over in Iraq for about 2 to 3 years. He took over in 2003, and he said, you know, from the very day he took command of the military in Iraq, it was obvious that we couldn't win the war. Why couldn't we win the war? Because they had all sorts of restrictions on what they could do. They never gave them adequate people, and the war and the whole direction of the war was run from Washington, D.C. The military were not allowed to run the war. And that's why we have not won. We will never win the war. We have no intention of bringing our kids home. They're going to stay there and continue to die. That's the plan. And you must understand, if you want to verify that, it's certainly laid out in something called Rebuilding America's Defenses on the website of the neoconservative movement, newamericancentury.org, newamericancentury.org. I believe it's page 14 of the pamphlet that you'll find there on their website. And they say it doesn't matter whether Saddam Hussein is in power. We've got to keep our troops in the Middle East indefinitely. Why? Because the true purpose of America is to bring about a world government, because our government has been taken over by people who have a different worldview and who hate America. They hate our freedom. They are dedicated to a one world government. You need, of course, to see my talk on The Forbidden Secret. It's a DVD. Comes with a syllabus. You need to see the DVDs, The Secret Mystery of America's Beginning, and, of course, Riddles in Stone. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Don't forget our all-day seminar on the 28th of October, if you can possibly make it here in Santa Cruz.